This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Yesterday, the University of Vermont Police Services announced that a rhinoceros horn had been stolen from the university campus. The horn was from a black rhinoceros, and it's likely from the early 1900s. It was taken from UVM's zoological collection. Now, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, along with UVM, are offering a combined $3,000 reward for information leading to tracking down the culprit. But what might sound like kind of a quirky little crime is actually part of something much more serious. There is massive global demand for these horns, and that has led to a black market and a string of crimes, from museum thefts to the gruesome killings of threatened rhinos, even one rhino slaughtered inside of a zoo in Paris. Laurel Nimi joins us now. She's an expert on wildlife trafficking and author of the book Animal Investigators, How the World's First Wildlife Forensics Lab is Solving Crimes and Saving Endangered Species. Laurel, welcome back to Vermont Edition.
Thanks so much for having me.
Why would anybody want to steal this rhino horn?
Well, money. That's the main thing. Is a single rhino horn can be very, very valuable on the black market. And of course, it depends where in the process it is, but it can fetch, you know, thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars, depending if it's ground up into medicine in Asia.
So, I mean, we could be talking six figures here.
Yes.
And you say depending on what state it's in and how it's ground up, and you started to mention ground up for medicine in Asia. What's the market? Why do people want these horns?
So traditionally, rhino horn was used in traditional Asian medicine, although to treat fevers and liver ailments. But it actually has no medicinal value. It's this keratin. It's made up of keratin.
Which is the same thing we have in our hair and fingernails, right?
Correct. Correct. So it has no medicinal value. But there, starting in about 2008, there was a rumor in Vietnam that it cured cancer. Now it doesn't, but there's a lot of rumors about it. So that started spiking demand for rhino horn.
So there have actually been scientific studies done to find out if there are any actual medicinal benefits, and they've found that there are none?
They have found nothing.
So 2008, there's this rumor going around in Vietnam and Southeast Asia that there is cancer curative properties in the rhino horn. And did we see a resulting spike in rhino poaching?
Yes, there has been an exponential increase in rhino poaching. So in South Africa, I think in about 2007, there was about 13 rhino poached. And just last year in 2016, there was over 1,000 rhino poached. And that amounts to, if you think about it, that amounts to about 3 rhino per day. And within Kruger National Park, which is one of the biggest parks in South Africa, and it's an epicenter for rhino poaching, they have 8 incursions a day. That means 8 poaching gangs are coming in different places, and you have to combat that. And they've been doing a great job in combating it, but still, 3 are killed a day. And if you think about the toll that that takes on the people fighting this, it's amazing. It's this relentless onslaught wherever it is.
And a toll on the population. How is the population doing?
So the population is declining. If you look at the turn of the century, around 1900, there were about 500,000 rhinos worldwide. And then they've been hunted out in a lot of Asian countries. So Vietnam had its last Javan rhino in like 2010. And so poaching in South Africa, which is where a lot of the rhinos are, Kenya and throughout Southern Africa as well, but about 80% are in South Africa, has just had this exponential increase. From 2007 to 2014, it increased 9,000%.
Wow.
I mean, it's just mind-boggling.
And you talk about rhinos being poached in the wild, and it's not just in the wild. I mean, last month, as I mentioned, a rhino in a Paris zoo was shot 3 times in the head and then had its horn sawed off with a chainsaw. Poachers are targeting rhinos in reserves. They're even going after young animals in rhino orphanages. And then there are situations like the one that this UVM theft fits into, where museums and collections are being broken into and horns are being stolen. Is that becoming common? Where these collections, these horns that are not attached to a rhino anymore, are still also being poached or stolen?
Yes, I think people see the opportunity and they grab it and sell it. And what's happening is several things along the way. And so this theft, what's disturbing about it is that it shows that it really reaches everywhere. You know, if it reaches Vermont, it's really everywhere. So no place is immune. And
although we don't know, if the person or people who perpetrated this crime knew exactly what they were stealing. That's yet to be determined,
right.
I suppose.
It could be. And I do know Fish and Wildlife Service did recover a horn that was also stolen from a university museum just this week.
Not in Vermont.
Not in Vermont. And so it definitely happens. There was a string of thefts in 2011, 2013. There's always been the string of thefts of, you know, museums and other places, university collections, where they are stealing the rhino horn, and they have made it into the trade. So it's a good likelihood that given the value of the horn, it would make it into the trade. But there's real reasons not to sell it. And, you know, really, when you sell it, you do three things. One is you're really expanding the trade. And
so it's not better that this was a horn that had not been attached to a living rhino.
No, it's not. And so it doesn't matter whether the rhino was, you know, previously killed, whether it was a stockpile, whether it was on the wall, because you're really expanding the trade. Because when it makes its way to the final customer, others will say, oh, you know, I want that too. And, you know, while we talked about medicine and this idea that it's used to treat cancer erroneously, you know, not only are you perpetuating that fraud, but really a lot of it is driven by wealth. And rhino horn has become this party drug to supposedly cure hangovers. And it's really become a status symbol. So a lot of the rhino horn that's being traded now has nothing to do whatsoever with any traditional medicine at all. It's really a status symbol. And so when you're doing that, you want one too. And so you're really expanding the trade. And then that will lead to an increase in poaching. And so when demand increases, you obviously, you know, are complicit in another rhino being shot. And then you're also promoting criminal networks, because the people who are involved in this are organized criminal networks, militia groups, and that leads in turn to instability in those countries and corruption.
So this is all a very depressing thing from what people may have at first blush thought was a fraternity prank or, you know, who knows what at UVM. So what can anybody who's listening, who's not involved in this trade, doesn't want to get it as a hangover cure, what can anybody do about poaching?
Well, there's really five things you can do. And, you know, if you see something, say something. You know, there's a lot of tip lines. You can definitely say something. You can learn about the trade. Just having this show on is actually really helpful because you're sharing stories, you're getting exposed to it so that when you become more aware and you can see something. You can also talk to your legislators about wildlife law enforcement. There's roughly 200 agents in the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to cover the whole country. That's really not a lot. You can support bills to stop the ivory and rhino horn trade. There's a bill here in the Vermont House, H220, to limit the stop commercial trade in the state of ivory and rhino horn. And you can also support rangers and other groups who are working on this issue.
Financially,
or just by sharing their stories and supporting it. There's a new organization over and above Africa where they're soliciting $5 a month contributions and showing you how your money is being used directly to support rangers. So there's a lot of good organizations out there.
That's Laurel Neamey, who lives in Shelburne and is an expert on wildlife trafficking and author of the book Animal Investigators. Laurel, thank you very much for talking with us.
My pleasure. Thanks.